Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
Charles Fuller once announced that he'd be speaking the following Sunday on the subject of heaven. During that week, a letter was received from an elderly man who was very ill and near his death. The following is part of his letter. Next Sunday, you're going to talk about heaven. I'm interested in that place because I have held a clear title to it for over 55 years. I did not buy it. It was given to me without money and without price and without any effort on my part. But the donor purchased it for me at tremendous sacrifice. I'm not holding it for speculation since the title is not transferable. It is not a vacant lot. God sees me as already there. For more than half a century, I've been sending things forward to it. No locks or bolts will ever be placed upon heaven's doors for me, and it's now almost time for me to enter into it and abide in peace eternally without fear of ever being ejected. I cannot reach my home without passing through a valley of deep shadow, but I'm not afraid because my Savior went through the same valley long, long ago and drove away all of its gloom. Since I came to trust Christ as my Savior 55 years ago, He stuck by me through thick and thin, and I hold His promise in printed form never to forsake me or leave me. He will be with me as I walk through the valley of shadows, and He will bring me home. I hope to hear your sermon on heaven next Sunday from my home in California, but I have no assurance that I shall be able to do so. My ticket to heaven has no date marked for the journey, no return coupon, and no permit for baggage. I'm all ready to go, and I may not be here on earth while you are speaking next Sunday, but I will meet you there in heaven someday. Our heavenly hope and the assurance of it for believers gives us stability and strength and assurance, joy and comfort in life like that man's letter demonstrates. Having trusted Christ in the gospel of salvation, that Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose again, we have the certain hope of heaven. And we can confidently say with the Apostle Paul that for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But heaven and heaven above isn't the only hope held out in God's Word. A kingdom of heaven on the earth is also a hope which is proclaimed. And there are many in the church today who don't know where they're going. They don't know if they're going to heaven or they're going to the kingdom on the earth, or they don't know if they're going to go to heaven temporarily and then come down to the kingdom forever. With so many topics and subjects in the Word, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15 is the key. Ephesians 1:10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. We see by this verse of Scripture that God has a distinct plan and purpose for both the heaven and the earth for all eternity. God's program for the earth we identify and we call prophecy, while God's program for the heavenlies we identify and refer to as the mystery. Through God's prophecy program, He reveals how God has plans for people to reign on the earth for eternity, which is the believing in the nation Israel. Through God's mystery program, He reveals how God has plans for people to reign in the heavenlies for all eternity, the church, the body of Christ. This heavenly part of God's eternal purpose has been a secret in time past. It was hid in the mind of God prior to revealing it first to the Apostle Paul. The theme of God's prophetic program is Christ's reign as king upon the earth in the future kingdom of heaven on the earth. The theme of God's mystery program is Christ's reign in the heavenlies as the highly exalted head of the church, the body of Christ. In God's Word, we need to rightly divide between God's program for heaven and His program for the earth, because there are differences between them. There are differences in the operation and the administration of God for heaven and for the earth. And there's differences in the people who are the inhabitants of these two locations for all eternity. John 14, 1-3 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." These verses are used by many in Christendom to comfort and speak of a heavenly hope in the mansions in heaven that we will inherit one day. But these verses are spoken to the nation of Israel in light of an earthly kingdom hope and calling. When our Lord speaks of my Father's house, it's not speaking of heaven. It's speaking of the temple. Because earlier in this same book of John, in chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, we read, "And when Jesus had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and said unto them, Take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise." The Father's house here in John 14 is speaking of the future house and temple of the millennial kingdom on the earth, which is Israel's hope. The term mansions here literally means dwellings, residence, or abode. Down in this same chapter in verse 23, the term abode is the exact same Greek word as mansions in verse 2. But speaking of the millennial temple of Christ, mansions is a good translation, because that temple will be a glorious dwelling place, as it will be the dwelling place of the God of all glory, the Messiah, King of Israel, Jesus Christ. In this future millennial temple, there will be dwelling places in it prepared for the apostles to live in. Ezekiel was shown this about the millennial temple and describes it in chapter 40 and 41 of his book. And it says, "Then brought he me into the outward court, and lo, there were chambers. 30 chambers were upon the pavement, and the little chambers thereof, and the posts thereof, and the arches thereof, and there were windows in it. And without the inner gate were the chambers of the singers in the inner court, and the chamber whose prospect is toward the north is for the priests, the keepers of the charge of the altar, which come near to the Lord to minister unto him. And there was an enlarging and a winding about still upward to the side chambers." So you see there that there will be chambers and dwelling places throughout the millennial temple for all manner of people, singers and priests, and some of those chambers will belong to the 12 apostles. Our Lord told his disciples in Luke 22, 29 and 30, "I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom." In Matthew 19, 28, he told them in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, he told them, "Ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." The 12 apostles in the kingdom of heaven on the earth will have a place to live in the temple. They'll eat at the Lord's table. They'll have a throne to sit on and a job to do, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. They will live and they will reign with Christ in the temple. Revelation 5:10 speaks of the hope of the nation of Israel. It says, "And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." The kingdom of heaven on the earth with the Messiah as king, ruling from David's throne in Jerusalem. That's the great and glorious hope of the prophetic program, and for the nation of Israel, and for the 12 apostles. The Lord tells those apostles here, "I go to prepare a place for you," which speaks of him going to the cross to die to pay for their sins and rise again and ascend back to the Father, to, as Luke 19:12 tells us, to receive for himself a kingdom and to return bringing that kingdom to the earth. The Lord says, I will come again, not at the rapture, but at his prophesied second coming at the end of the tribulation when he comes to destroy the Antichrist army at the Battle of Armageddon and to establish a glorious kingdom here on the earth. He will come and do this just as he said. I like how he says there, I will come again. And when he establishes that kingdom, as he tells the apostles here, he will receive them unto himself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And where Christ will be, speaks of in his temple and his kingdom on the earth. Being with Christ is the greatest prospect about their hope in the kingdom on the earth. And that's also a principle that's true for our hope also in heaven. Being with the Lord is the glorious prospect we look forward to. And as Matthew 25:34 says of those entering the kingdom on the earth, it says, Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And so while we have a heavenly inheritance in heaven, the hope of the nation of Israel is to inherit the earth, to inherit the kingdom prepared for them by their Messiah.
We'll be returning to the program in just a minute. But first, we'd like to take this time to thank you, our partners, for making these programs possible. If you would like to access our library of helpful Bible study tools, go to BereanBibleSociety.org.
Acts, Dispensationally Considered, Volume 2, is a hardcover 472-page commentary written by Pastor Cornelius R. Stamm and covers Acts 15:36 through 28:31. Far more than an inspired storybook, Acts presents a clear line of teaching and explains why the fulfillment of prophecy was interrupted some 19 centuries ago to make way for the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Appropriately, this book has been called the Book Between. It fits perfectly between the four records of our Lord's earthly ministry and the epistles of Paul. To order your copy, contact the Berean Bible Society for pricing and availability at 262-255-4750. Or visit our website at www.BereanBibleSociety.org.
To receive our free, full-color 32-page monthly magazine, The Berean Searchlight, call 262-255-4750 or subscribe online at www.BereanBibleSociety.org. Thank you again for your generous gifts. And now, back to the teaching with Pastor Kevin.
Jeremiah 23:5-6 says, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Psalm 37 is an important chapter too. It identifies and confirms the hope of the nation of Israel. Psalm 37:9 says, But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. In Psalm 37:11, which is what Christ taught also and held out as the hope for Israel in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:5, Psalm 37:11 says, The meek shall inherit the earth. Verse 11 goes on to say that the meek will delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Because when Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, when he reigns on this earth, there will be abundance of peace, and he will establish a kingdom of peace on the earth, which will perpetuate peace throughout the whole world. Psalm 37:22 says, For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth. Israel's great hope and her rich blessing by God is an earthly inheritance in an earthly kingdom. In Psalm 37:29-34, it speaks of Israel's hope of dwelling and inheriting the land Again, the promised land. Psalm 37:29 says, "The righteous shall inherit the land and they'll dwell therein forever." Psalm 37:34 says of Israel, "He shall exalt thee to inherit the land." The kingdom on earth will go on forever and ever, and Israel's everlasting hope and joy is to dwell here on the earth. And their exaltation is to be exalted with Christ on the earth in his kingdom of heaven on the earth. The kingdom will be established on the earth, and it's going to extend all over the world. Christ will bring the entire world under his sovereign rule. He will rule from David's throne in Jerusalem. And Zechariah 14:9 says, "The Lord shall be king over all the earth." In contrast to this, in stark contrast to this, Philippians 3:20 says, "For our conversation," or our citizenship, "is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." The book of Philippians is a book of joy, as we know, and it tells us of so many places where we find joy and gives us so many reasons why we can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And Paul shows how having a heavenly home and an eternal citizenship in heaven is true cause for joy in our lives. While the theme of prophecy is Christ's reign on the earth and Israel's exaltation with him in his earthly kingdom, the mystery program's theme, again, is Christ's reign in the heavens and the body of Christ's exaltation with him in the heavenlies. After Israel had rejected her Messiah, God's Son, and then continued in her rebellion by rejecting the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, God temporarily suspended his program of prophecy. He set Israel aside in unbelief and ushered in a new program called the mystery, or the dispensation of the grace of God. And under this parenthetical time, God is holding out a heavenly hope to those who trust his Son and his finished work for their salvation. Paul's epistles all have the direction of pointing us heavenward, upward, for our hope, for all those who believe in Christ and are members of the church, the body of Christ. From the Apostle Paul to the present, all the redeemed of God in this program have an eternal heavenly hope. Colossians 1:5 says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." The Bible holds out two locations for the eternal homes and hopes for God's people. One is for the nation of Israel, and one is for the church, the body of Christ. When we turn to the letters of the Apostle Paul, we learn of a new hope in a new location for believers in the church today. Paul doesn't say the hope which is down here in the kingdom of on the earth, but the hope which is up for you in heaven. Our hope isn't earthly. It isn't to dwell in chambers or mansions in the earthly millennial temple, or to rule and reign with Christ here on the earth. The hope and destiny for all those who trust the gospel of the grace of God in the dispensation of the grace of God is heaven. Our hope, our eternal home, is heaven. Thus we see in Paul's epistles how Paul says, "The sphere of our spiritual blessings in Christ is in heaven." Ephesians 1:3 says, "God hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Our exalted position in Christ is in the heavens. Ephesians 2:6 says that God hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Today, under grace, our position in Christ is based upon his position. Christ is seated right now in the heavenlies at God's right hand. And positionally, the body of Christ, we are seated in the heavenlies in him, and someday we'll experientially be seated in the heavenlies for all eternity. Paul says in Philippians 3 here that our citizenship is there. The word conversation here speaks of citizenship, And this was something to which the Philippians could definitely relate and understand. Philippi was a Roman colony, and its citizens were Roman citizens. Their citizenship gave them stability and security under Roman law, and it was of great value to their lives. The Philippians were citizens of Rome, though they lived outside of and hundreds of miles from Rome. And though we are outside and from heaven, we are citizens of it right now. And this is of infinite value to our lives and gives us great stability and security in life. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote that having trusted Christ, we have a new citizenship. We are in Christ. And because we are in Christ, we are seated in the heavenly places with Him. Our citizenship is as definite now as it will be when we arrive in heaven. There will be a physical translation at the rapture, but spiritually and positionally, he says, we are already there. 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Paul says, if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, speaking of our earthly bodies likened to a tent, they're being dissolved or taken down like a tent at our physical death. And Paul draws a stark contrast between these earthly tent bodies now and our future heavenly, glorified, eternal bodies, a building of God and house not made with hands, he calls it, which we will be fitted with and dwell in for all eternity when these bodies are changed and glorified at the rapture of the church. But notice where we'll dwell eternally in these bodies. Eternal in the heavens. We have a permanent place in heaven, and our eternal bodies will dwell eternally in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, just down later in the chapter, says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Verse 20 tells us that each of us in the body of Christ are ambassadors for Christ. The fact that we are called ambassadors by God teaches us that this earth is not our home. Pastor Tony Evans says this, "America has ambassadors. Ambassadors are in a foreign land that is not their own. They temporarily spend time in a foreign land away from home. Ambassadors have to learn the language and learn the customs, but they're never to belong there. They are just to live there in order to carry out their commission. In order to carry it out, they've got to live there. In order to carry it out, they've got to talk the language. To carry it out, they've got to function in the context of the people. But they are never to forget it's not where they belong. The Bible says our citizenship is in heaven. What good is an ambassador who doesn't represent the homeland? The problem is that today we've got a generation of ambassadors who like the foreign country. In fact, they've fallen in love with the foreign country. Being ambassadors for Christ implies that we don't belong here, that the earth is not our home or our hope. An ambassador represents one country to another location. If we are called ambassadors for Christ on this earth, it means that we are not citizens here. The word says our citizenship is in heaven. Our home is heaven. We are Christ's ambassadors, temporarily taking up residence here, representing Him, representing heaven to this world, carrying out our commission of reconciliation that our Lord has given to us. And when our work here is done, we go home. And our home is heaven. So we are only temporarily here. This world is not our home, and our lives should reflect that. We are just pilgrims. We're just pilgrims passing through. And we who have trusted Christ as Savior are on our journey home to heaven. As we pass through this life as heaven-bound travelers, we can do so with joy and faith, knowing that we share heaven's glory and honor. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our names are recorded in heaven. Our fellow body members are there in heaven. Our inheritance is in heaven. Our riches are in heaven. And most importantly, our Savior is in heaven. And one day we will see Him face to face. Philippians 1:23 says, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." One author once wrote, "My family and I have lived in the same house for 17 years. We've lived there more than twice as long as I have lived at any other address in my entire life. I'll sometimes refer to it as our house, but more often I refer to it as home. What makes it home isn't the address or the lot or the garage or the architecture. What makes it home is the people. What makes home home is the people and the relationships. And what makes heaven heaven is not streets of gold and no smog. What makes heaven heaven is Christ." Paul says here that to be with Christ isn't just better, but better by very far is the idea. To Paul, going to heaven to be with the Lord is better by far than staying on the earth. There is no question as to what was the superior and preferable choice to Paul. The true story is told of a soldier who was terribly wounded in battle. The doctor told him he needed surgery, but his chances of survival were only 1 in 100. "What would you like for me to do?" the doctor asked him. And he replied calmly, "Go ahead with it, doctor." Later, after the soldier fully recovered, the doctor asked him how he could face the situation with such calmness and confidence. The soldier told him, "I knew whichever way it went, there would be a welcome for me. If I lived, I knew my mom would be here to welcome me. And if I died, that Christ would welcome me home." And that's how we can live our lives, with that calm assurance that we have a welcome waiting for us, which is beyond our imagination. That we can live with confidence and faith in light of eternity for Christ, for others, knowing that we are on our way home to heaven. Green Bible Society sends out a daily email called 2 Minutes with the Bible. And these are short Bible studies that can be read in about 2 minutes. Thank you for watching Transformed by Grace. Join us next time. We're going to be looking at our spiritual blessings in Ephesians chapter 1.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.